This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, and I'm joined, as always, by Hamish Smith. What have we got on the show this week, Hamish?
Coming up on the show today, we'll be doing our invisible backpack check-in, and then I have an important PSA. And then to top it all off, we'll have The Toolbox Guide to Apologies.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Saddle up your horses, cowboy. For the only men's issue show in all of radio. The Toolbox. Yeehaw!
This is The Toolbox. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney. And I'm joined, as always, by my rotten soldier, my sweet cheese, my best pal, Hamish Smith.
How's it going, Rolly?
Mate, it's been going all right, you know. It's been going all right for old Rolly. How's your week been?
You know what, it's been all right. We'll get into the invisible backpack very, very soon. But shall we talk about what we've got coming up on the show today?
Yes. So obviously we're about to have the invisible backpack check in.
Yes.
And then you bring us actually a very pertinent,
I know,
public service announcement.
I have to say, like, I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't mad. You know, something needs to be done about this problem. So that's why I said to you, Rolly, I need to use our platform for a very good cause, and thankfully you agreed with me.
It's something that I feel we both feel strongly about.
Yeah. You know, for the first time in a little while, we've got a guest on the show today.
Yeah, we do.
So we'll be speaking to him very, very soon. But yes, that's not the only thing we've got coming up on the show today. What else is there?
Well, we were talking about this, like, privately.
Mm-hmm.
And we both acknowledged that the standard of public apologies from people who've done wrong,
yes,
has faced a serious decline. And I've actually seen this seep into the real world.
Yeah.
No accountability. No, you know, no class, really.
And yeah, it's just a word that you use.
Yeah, and so we're going to bring you later on the Toolbox official guide to apologies.
Yes, that'll be towards the end of the show, so make sure to stay tuned.
Yeah.
Shall we jump into the invisible backpack then?
Let's do it, man.
Cool. So, before we do, and I know I've been teasing the invisible backpack, Rolly, what is the invisible backpack?
The Invisible Backpack is the shorthand that me and Hamish use with each other, both on air and off air, to check in with each other. It's not analytical. We're not therapists. Everyone's got an invisible backpack. Mm-hmm. It can be really heavy, it can be really light, and it's filled with all the things that occupy your life. And that could be mental health, physical health, body image, self-esteem, money, all kinds, really. Stress,
everything.
Anxiety. And it can be filled with things that make it lighter, you know, when things are going well, like a family occasion, a birthday, something else. But, yeah, so, Hamish.
Yes.
How's your backpack?
You know what? It's been a week, shall we say. Starting things off like it was like a decent week in terms of, like, work and just, you know, doing things, like, everything was all good. And then come, what day did we go out into town in Sunderland and we bought those nice Tango?
Friday,
yeah. So anyway, like, on that day, and obviously you'll know, I got a phone call from my friend, and it was like quite a distressing phone call. Something had happened, he was upset. Anyway, whatever. As that, you know, day progressed, like, I spoke to him, like, a little bit later, and, like, everything seemed fine. But later on tonight, he then messaged me, and it was quite a distressing message. I was quite concerned, you know, about his, you know, well-being, how he was doing in that moment in time. And, you know, it just, like, I've had, you know, this is twice now in, what, the space of maybe 2-3 months now, where two of my friends have kind of, you know, felt that they can't reach out to, you know, us. And when I say us, I mean, you know,
the friend group,
yeah. Like, that, there's two people who I have felt that, and it's like, in a way, it's like, what, you know, are we doing wrong as a friend group? And what can we do to make it a more, you know, comfortable place? Like, what's the issue? And it's just like, it's kind of been like at the forefront of my mind. And I've just kind of been thinking about it ever since that kind of happened. It's just like, what, you know, I've sat down with all my friends and they've sat down with me and we've all discussed, you know, we can be open with each other. We can talk like no matter what time of day, whenever the issue is, like if you need to talk to someone about something, then, you know, they're there for you.
There's no easy way to approach that.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from my point of view, where I've had friends who didn't feel like they could open up,
mm-hmm.
and now they can't open up anymore.
Yeah.
I would much rather, like, and I'm sure same goes for you and all your boys.
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather sit there on the phone for 2 or 3 hours listening to your problems,
mm-hmm.
than I would sit in for half an hour for your eulogy.
Like, that's what I mean. And that's what I said. I was like, you know, I'd rather, you know, lose a couple nights of sleep if it means, well, you know, I'd lose a night of sleep if it meant, you know, anyone, you know, was still on the, like, to still be on the planet. Like, you know.
It's really difficult because all the noise everyone makes,
mm-hmm.
around male mental health, it sometimes in the course of us doing this show, it feels like sometimes we're just screaming against the wall.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, you know, what I kind of said it to another one of my friends. I was like, God's sake, I do a men's mental health show.
Yeah, like, you know how to talk about this.
Yeah, like,
if anything, like, we should be your rent-a-side. Like.
Exactly, like, if... And in a way, you know what, I feel like most of my friends, like, if they've got an issue or they're feeling a certain way and they don't know how to, you know, do anything about it, they'll come to me about it. But I feel like, you know, in a way, yeah, said friend, you know, acted on something and I just had to, you know, it was like, yeah, the damage had been done, but I was like, you know what, like, we know what to do, we know how to...
If the thought, either was just a fleeting beza thought,
mm-hmm.
that tells you to do anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, I very open about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go to your GP or ring the crisis team.
Yeah.
You know, like, I started to get help because I was walking my dog along Egbeth Road in Liverpool. Saw the 82 bus coming and it was just a fleeting thought of, oh, I could step in front of that. And I recognised that wasn't normal. And then the next day, I got the help.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's managing yourself. And I'm sorry that your friends had a traumatic event happen that's triggered that response.
Yeah. So, obviously, there was that happened. And I think that kind of just, like, you know, I think I've... I'd say there's a lot, you know, happening right now in the sense of, like, I've got a lot to expect. And I think, you know, it's the same for yourself. And I think with just all this happening, it's like, wow, like, what? I just have, yeah, so much going on. But I'd say the backpacks, again, and I've been saying this for weeks, you know, it's the stressful, least stressful time of my life.
Yeah.
So I'd say the backpack's full this week, but I reckon by next week it'll be the complete opposite.
How are you with it all though?
That's what I'm saying. I'm just feeling a bit deflated. A bit like, whew.
It's very sobering, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just been a tough one. A lot of, you know, thinking, a lot of talking. You know, I've been on the phone to people, it's been a lot of late nights. But it's okay, you know. I'd happily do this,
you know,
for the next like 3 weeks if it meant, you know, my friends were okay.
Yeah, well, you know that, like, I don't need to say it to you, but you know, like, me and Jake are here for you.
Obviously, like,
you can't get rid of us.
Yes, I know. Obviously, I've got a safe space around me, and yeah, I think, like, yeah, I'm tired. Just, you know, from helping other people, and that maybe sounds kind of selfish, but like...
It's called compassion fatigue.
I'm just...
No, it's a real thing. It's why, like, now you see, like, some charities and causes that are, like, high profile for ages.
Yeah.
That's why, like, they tend to have, like, a period of cooling off and then coming back into consciousness again.
Yeah.
Because they understand people get compassion fatigue. Kevin Sinfield writes about it in his autobiography really, really well.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, all the fundraising him and Rob Burrow did.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we understand people get compassion fatigue, and that's why, you know, each challenge he's done has had to be, like, so much more extreme than the last one.
Yeah.
So, like, unfortunately, that's the only way to still, like, hook interest in what you're doing. Like,
yeah. So it's a real thing, and I wouldn't say it's, well, I guess I would call it compassion fatigue, but.
But it's a fatigue you're happy to have,
yeah,
like.
I would do this. If I had to do this for the next 3 weeks, the next month, the next, like, year, whatever, like, I'd do it for my friends. So,
yeah.
The backpack is hefty. Rolly, I'll throw it over to you. How was your backpack?
Yeah, my backpack was, it's been a bit of a week as well. My partner met my parents for the first time.
Exciting.
That went very well. And then Tuesday, well, right. So it started out with, on the back of that, like, I was meant to be going away for a week to Crimden Dean, Costa del Crimden. But the caravan we had booked had been double booked. So my holiday was cancelled, and that was, I was looking forward to putting my feet up.
Yep.
But what that meant was on Tuesday, I could, like, muscle my mum out of a ticket for the playoff semi-final. And it was the, like, I've seen Sunderland win at Wembley before. I saw us win the League One playoff to come up. I've also seen Sunderland lose at Wembley twice. Well, I've seen us lose about that, but, like, I've been there in person.
Yeah.
And in all my time going to sport, whether it was seeing the Mets first ever no hitter in the history, or whether it was, you know, the Super League grand final or whatever, I've never seen an atmosphere like the stadium light on Tuesday.
Damn.
Like, I covered Wednesday breakfast, and you saw me, like, I couldn't talk. Which, in our line of work, Hamish,
is a struggle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not whispering Bob Harris, you know. Yeah. And then I thought I had a ticket, but then I'm not a season ticket holder, so it got cancelled.
The purge.
Yeah, the which is fine. You know, phase one was meant to be for season ticket holders, a chance to, and, you know, it happens, and season ticket holders will be there getting upset and be like, well, I'm a season ticket holder. And then it's like, okay, so you get special privileges because you bulk bought a load of tickets to start the season for the cheapest price you possibly could. Well done. And then the, like, it's gone to partial season ticket holders and stuff, and, you know, the six game ones, but I've been to 11 home games this season because of work. I can't commit to, like, a six game ticket. I can't commit to, like, a half season ticket, whatever. Like, that's why I didn't have a season ticket, was because I work most Saturdays. So if it's, like, last minute and it's like, oh, it's like a 12:30 kickoff and I'm not until, like, 4:00.
Yeah.
I'll risk the fact that, like, there's no massive injury and loads of extra time to go the match.
Yeah.
And I feel like people like myself have been let down by who can buy tickets. It should be purchase history as much as...
Well, I suppose that's the issue with the system like this. It's, you know, if you let everyone buy a ticket, you know, like, fans won't buy them. Scalpers can buy them, like...
Yeah.
Folk will buy them and then sell them for, like, you know, ridiculous amounts. Yeah. And I suppose that's the issue.
But that's already happening, though. Like, I've seen...
Oh, yeah. Like, season ticket holders.
Like, you go on social media and you see, you know, on the, like, ticket reselling ones, you know, fan to fan.
Yeah.
And, like, albeit people are offering, but people have been like, we'll pay massively over the odds. And it's like, no, don't do that. Like...
Yeah.
Because then it just means that everyone's then, even if you're a season ticket holder, you can't go unless you're, like, you're giving it to, you know, a family member or a friend.
Yeah.
It just means that you're fleecing another fan at a time when no one's got any spare money.
Yeah, no, exactly. No. How big is Wembley?
It's about 90,000. It's big. It's the biggest stadium in the country. Oh. And then, so each side's got 35,000 as an allocation, which means there's another, like, 15,000, 20,000 that aren't being sold.
Yeah.
But then I looked at Club Wembley. The cheapest option is £595.
Mm.
Those options are already sold out. So unless you're willing to pay £1,200 per ticket in a box, which people go, oh, all your food and drinks included. It's like, I don't care how much you drink and how much you eat. You're not eating and drinking £1,200 worth of stuff.
No, that is true.
To get too drunk in the like by the end of the first half to then get kicked out and not remember it anyway. And then, you know, I'll still try for a ticket when it's on general release tomorrow, but I don't have it off. So I'm trying to get my dad, basically, like, he's in my network, so I can send him the ticket.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. It's the nature of jobs. Sometimes, you know, it's sound and you can get it off. And, you know, like, I've got no criticism of work. They've been really good to me and really flexible around, you know, what I can and can't do anyway. But it's just one of them. Like, it's, I wish I could go, but it's what it is.
You're not going to Wembley.
No, and that's like, you know what? It happens.
Yep.
That's, you know, it's
being an adult.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Being an adult's like the worst. You know, when you're a kid and you're like, I just want to be a grown up so much. And then you're paying like council tax,
gas bill.
You can't go to the match.
it sucks.
Yeah. You're just like, worst life ever.
So your invisible backpack then?
You know what? Like, I'm balanced, like, light, you know?
Good.
Like, I'll still somehow see the game, even if it's, you know...
Exactly.
You'll but as I see it, like, I'll take my radio into work and put it on.
Will it not be on the Freeview?
No, it's Sky.
Shocking.
I mean, it's called the Sky Bet Championship. So...
I thought, like, they let the finals go on Freeview.
No, I wish. That would be nice, but, no.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, or, like, everything. Everything's behind the paywall. Yeah. Oh, you know what I noticed? I clicked on an article the other day, and this was a legitimate the other day, not, like, something that happened, like, 3 months ago that I've just remembered. So, you know how on a website you can reject cookies?
Yeah.
It's saying you either accept the cookies or you have to pay to reject the cookies.
What website is this?
It was The Guardian. And then I went on The Times, the same thing. I didn't check the no paper that I don't read. But like The Mirror was the same, The Telegraph the same.
Yeah.
So now all these organisations are being like, well, you know.
Give us your information or paper.
But apparently the rule is like they have to say accept cookies or give you an option to reject. But it doesn't say that the option can't be pay to reject.
Oh.
And that's sneaky, that, you know.
That is sneaky.
Anyway, what we'll do is we'll go to Wolf Mother, the Joker and the Thief, and then we'll come back to hear Hamish's very, very important public service now.
The Big Cheese's big message.
My name is Hamish Smith, aka The Big Cheese. As we have started to move into the warmer months, it's important that I share some urgent safety information with you. Seagulls are back, and they are bigger than ever. They'll steal your food, and they will drop bombs from on high. They'll swoop at your nan. I'm about to speak to Stan Flatley. Welcome to the Stoolbox, Stan.
Thank you, Hamish. I am here to spread the message against this winged sky menace. I was sat outside of the Bridges Shopping Centre in Sunderland City Centre, watching the world go by, minding my own business. When suddenly this Falcor-sized seagull came from over my right shoulder, stealing a large portion of my vegetable bake, with such a ferocity that it forced my hand into my nose, leaving me bruised for days. I am here to help spread the warning against this winged menace.
Thank you, Stan. I have also been informed of recent steak bake theft, leaving a man injured with a pecked thumb and a sausage bean and cheese melt that almost gave a local man a concussion. As a community, we must band together and prevent pasty pinching from these pesky pricks.
This is a very relieved The Toolbox on Spark. I'm your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, joined as always by the Big Cheese himself, who came to us previously with a very important message. Hamish, when was it you first realised that you needed to spread awareness on this issue?
Well, to be honest, it was when, you know, I found out, you know, my dear friend across the table from me was taken out by one of these vicious beings the other day.
It was circumstances very similar, unnervingly similar to that of Stan Flatley.
Stan Flatley has been through a lot, and so have you, Rolly.
Yeah, it just, like, I was sat literally on a bench, like, in town, and just, it come over my shoulder, and it was like, I'm not gonna lie, I tried to punch it, like, because, you know, just like, reflex action.
Yeah.
Like, it came through that I thought someone was swinging, like, round. And then I saw this flash of white and it buggered off a fappy pasty. I was like, not having this.
Well, I had a similar situation. So just outside, you know where the peacock is?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know how there's, like, the crossing behind the back to bridges, like the zebra crossing? So I was a bit across over that. And, like, all of a sudden, like, I've got my sausage, bean and cheese melt in my hand. And all of a sudden, just... flies down, bites my thumb, and again it takes like pretty much half of it, so I'm like raging, so I attempt to just throw the other half at the seagull.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, like, there was a group of kids walking past and they were laughing. I was like, I'd laugh too, like, it's funny, like,
what are you gonna do, like,
yeah, like, it's a fat man being attacked by a seagull, like. you took my pasty.
I'd say you can rightly throw a fit.
I think it's important, though, to recognise that since I was a child, seagulls have only gotten more and more hench every year.
More and more hench and more and more feisty.
And I think it's because of what we put in our own food. it's clearly unfit for both human and seagull consumption. It's making all of the seagulls look like they've been, like, benching 220. Like... Yeah, we just stole the second because there was just some random security lads outside. Big Toolbox fans in the building.
So anyway, there was some seagull...
Terrorism?
Terrorism, yeah. It was horrific. We needed to spread awareness. I needed to spread awareness. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
So we have, coming up on the show... The Toolbox Guide to Apologies.
We do. And it's going to be a must listen for anyone in the public. You know what? Actually, just in general, it's some do's, some don'ts, some definitely don'ts.
Yeah.
So join us after The Light at the End of the Tunnel. It's The Light of the Oncoming Train by Harpman Harpbiscuit. The Light at the End of the Tunnel is The Light of an Oncoming Train by Harpman Harpbiscuit here on Spark. If you've been listening to the show so far, you'll have heard Hamish's public service announcement warning you about the dangers of seagulls, which we've both been deeply affected by.
I suppose in a way it's not a danger of, you know, a danger or a worry of seagulls. It's more of a...
what they can
do. Well, when you're armed with the Greggs.
Yeah.
When you've got that pasty on you, like...
But whether it's a Greggs, whether it's a Mr. Whippy from the van.
Yeah, it can be anything, any sort of grub. Like, it can just get...
They'll even go after your spam.
Not my spam.
But, I mean, the seagulls need to hear this next segment. So this is The Toolbox Guide to Apologies.
Shall we get into it?
Over the last few years, I think we've all noticed a steady decline in public figures' ability to convincingly apologise.
So whether that's Matt Hancock's tears, you know, Colleen Ballinger's ukulele, or Logan Paul's apology to Japan.
Yeah, so this is The Toolbox Guide to Apologies. Hamish is now going to show an example of an apology that doesn't pass the toolbox threshold.
Rolly, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I think that everyone in the world, your favourite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney, my sweet cheese, Hamish Smith, and you, who's listening, have all been the receiver of this kind of an apology.
Yeah.
Hamish, tell us, first and foremost, why this type of apology is not okay.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really, you know, mean anything. It doesn't come with anything. It's quite a...
It's
apologising because you've been told to apologise.
Yeah. And it's also... It's not an apology if you're putting it back on the person who feels wrong.
Exactly. Like, an apology is essentially you admitting that, you know, you've done something wrong. It's your admission to the blame. You know, you're apologising because you've done something out of... You know,
even if you haven't meant to upset someone, offend someone, whatever, there's still a right and a wrong way to approach that conversation.
Very true.
And like, words important. So like, I've heard some in the past which have been like, oh, I suppose I owe you an apology. Oh, maybe I might have been.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, it's just backhanded. Just own it. Like,
there's nothing wrong with apologizing. Like, no, let's make that clear from the start.
Like, we teach this to children.
Yeah.
Why suddenly, when you get like to like 16, is everyone going, oh, I'm not going to apologize? It's like, grow up. Like, it's two words and they're really hard to say sometimes, but sometimes you just gotta eat the poopy and do it. Like,
yeah, like bite the bullet and get through with it. Like, it's tough, but. You know, in a way, and like, I suppose this is something my dad's always said to me, like, there's nothing wrong with owning the apology. Like, it makes you the bigger person in a way.
But also, like, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but there are ways to apologize that make you look like the better person.
Yes, there is. 100%. But anyway, shall we move on to the next apology? Courtesy of your favorite folk devil, Rolly Joe Carney.
I'm just so sorry and ashamed and it'll never happen again and it was out of character. And right, so what's wrong with that is, one, I gave no setup or anything for what I was apologising for, right? We referenced them earlier in the show, but Matt Hancock on This Morning being like... And people died during COVID. I'm like, you can see he's straining to cry. Like, he's trying to force himself to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, take it from your radio uncles, Rolly and Hamish. Don't do that.
Yeah, no.
Did you watch it when it happened?
What, the...
The Matt Hancock one?
Like, the apology?
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Like, what was your reaction like?
Well, I mean, it was... I didn't expect it, but everything kind of played out to how I expected it to go. You know, he got famous, he did the apology, and then he was on, what was it? Celebrity.
I'm a celebrity.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Yeah, and then he also did that celebrity asset, like DSAS, hard one. He was literally just being yelled at by army people. And it's like, in terms of payoff for like... Because, like, you never get that type of payoff from, like, a public... Like, usually they just tuck the tail between the legs and then, like, quietly go to the back benches of Parliament.
Yeah.
But in this case, you literally got to see, like, real-life, like, retired, you know, military people screaming at Matt Hancock.
Yeah.
Because, like, the woman who did it, like, it was, like, interrogating him and stuff. Like, they hooded them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, in his face, like, and he started smiling.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll have found this when someone's angry at you. No, when you can't help just like cracking a little smile, and it's the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah,
and I was just sat there and like as a bloke, I don't mind saying, like, there's always a level of simpatico with other blokes, I think, in some situations.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, like, I think every man watching its balls went inside the body a little bit, like, you know, that feeling of, oh, I wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah, but like, this is the thing. It was, you know, at the end of it, it was, you know, all set up. It was all one big publicity thing, and off the back of a poor apology, he got a career out of it.
Yeah, I mean, not so much anymore, I don't think. I think his opportunities have now dried up, thankfully.
I think, you know, you can only kind of milk that cow for so long, but he did it.
Yeah,
he got the most out of it, I'd say.
And then like to talk about like other things that are like over the top. We meant again to mention someone you mentioned before, Colleen Ballinger,
mm-hmm.
whose YouTube name is like
Miranda Sings.
Yeah, so she was accused of inappropriately messaging people underage.
Yes.
And her apology is potentially the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I literally don't know how, like, you shouldn't laugh because of how serious the situation is. But when you see, like, what, for somebody of that size, and obviously, you know, in that kind of moment, I can't imagine, you know, she wouldn't have had a lot of people working for her. But that video would have definitely have made it past a few eyes before it got onto YouTube.
Run it past your PR person. Like, yeah. Is this a good idea?
Should I play the ukulele
while
singing sorry and apologizing for messaging people inappropriately?
Because, like, I mean, definitely watch it. Yeah. It's proper.
It still exists. And that's...
Yeah, and it's, I mean, a part of it is really sad, and we're not making light of the accusations, but mm-hmm. also, like, it's given me, like, I didn't think my respect for the ukulele could sink any lower. It's not a real instrument.
Yes, it is.
It's not
English. Okay, let's not. This is a. We'll save this one for another day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll make an apology to the ukulele community of Sunderland. I'm incredibly sorry for yucking your yum when it comes to your hobby and your instrument. If you get enjoyment out of that, it's not my place to say that. It's a tiny guitar for small-handed people.
No, Rolly, what was wrong with that apology?
That apology was because I didn't mean it. So. Hamish,
mm-hmm.
This brings us on.
What should be in an apology?
I mean, it needs to be clear and the contrition needs to be appropriate. So if it's something that you'd class as like a minor snafu, like something like, you know, you accidentally bumped into someone,
mm-hmm.
and, oh, I'm sorry, like, is enough.
Yeah.
If it's something where, you know, you've accidentally upset someone, it could be like, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. I can see why it's upset you, and yeah. I'll work not to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are other things, though, that we mentioned this. We talked about it a little bit when we had Jay and Costi on.
Yeah.
Our top tier quiz. And one thing you shouldn't do is you shouldn't try and use your personal circumstances.
Yeah.
In order to almost lessen the trouble you're in whilst you're apologising. And the example I use for this is Kevin Spacey. Now, Kevin Spacey was accused of sexual misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
Went to court, some charges were upheld, some were quashed, and some were later quashed on appeal. But he used that moment to come out.
Yeah.
He tried to lessen what he'd been doing by coming out as gay, and, you know, that's his truth. We're not knocking him for that. We'd never, you know, we are firm allies on this show of the LGBTQR community. But yeah. It's not the time or the place to be like, oh, and by the way.
No, it's a setback for a community that is already, you know, extremely struggling.
Yeah, and getting pelters from everywhere, especially at the moment.
It is. It's a literal cheap shot. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't get any worse. And, you know, it's a shame because I think quite a lot of people do that in these communities. They'll do something horrible and then, you know, not necessarily blame it on their, you know, sexuality or how they identify, but they'll kind of go, oh, but this is how I identify. This is how I, you know, it can be a very sticky situation. And
you know, if you are doing that to try and lessen the trouble you're in or elicit sympathy from a marginalised group or any group, if that are marginalised or not, then that's not the way to apologise. The other thing as well that I think should be noted is examples of apologies for wrongdoing that I think actually were right. So when Jimmy Carr got caught up in this tax scandal, he apologized and he took his medicine. Like, obviously, he hosts comedy panel shows and chat shows, and, you know, he's an entertainer, and he was all involved in a tax scheme, so it wasn't tax avoidance, it was like some of a you know loophole. So what he did wasn't illegal, but it wasn't necessarily the moral or right thing to do.
Yeah.
So what happened was he instead of trying to like clever his way out of it and be like, oh, it wasn't that bad, he actually just said, I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have done it. Now I've been caught, I'll pay back what I owe. Mm-hmm. I'll pay the right amount of tax and then I'll do that. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. I mean, compare that with, you know, another more recent case than Kevin Spacey, Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Russell Brand, ever since he's in court at the moment, so we can't actually talk about what's been going on. But his reaction to public accusations was to become like a weird, like almost ultra Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got baptized in the murkiest bit of the Thames I've ever seen. And then carried on.
Yeah, it was just a bit strange when all that kind of.
And it goes back to what we were saying about contrition. Like, it has to be like appropriate to what you've done.
Yeah.
Like accusations he's got, there's no amount of like contrition he can do that can lessen what he's done in the eyes of people.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where I feel like, you know, and obviously limited comments, but I feel like in a situation like that, just saying nothing might be better than saying anything at all.
Yeah, you don't always have to apologise.
Yeah, that is very true. Sometimes you can just say absolutely nothing at all. And I think somebody that does owe us an apology would be Jake Chappell for looking at us through the studio window.
And especially for that.
Flashing the moon.
Yeah, I mean, it is nighttime. Like, we were expecting to see the moon.
Anyway.
Disgusting.
That was the Toolbox is guide to apologies.
And now we're going to go with the Pixies, Monkey Gone to Heaven.
At the minute, that's promising.
Hey,
if you win the lottery.
Unfortunately, it's that time.
Curtain closer.
Just because the conversation stops doesn't mean that the conversation stops. If you urgently need to speak to someone, the number for Samaritans is 116 123. That's 116 123.
There is now two Andy's Man Clubs here in Sunderland. We've got one on Kale Road and one at the Beacon of Light. That is every Monday from 7 p.m, except on bank holidays.
And if peer-to-peer support doesn't really sound like your thing and you don't feel like your problem's big enough to take to Samaritans, here at Spark, every Thursday, we have our own phone-in show hosted by Kai and Hayden called The Bedtime Babylon. You don't need to ring them about anything heavy. You can just talk to them about what you've had for your tea.
Rolly's an absolute nightmare when it comes to phoning in.
Yeah, if I sense the phone lines have been quiet, I just tell myself I'll ruin their evening.
Best of the poor boys.
Yeah, and if you want to listen back, if you've caught us late, then the Toolbox podcast is out every Tuesday.
Yes, make sure to follow us on Instagram at the Toolbox Radio.
This has been the Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
And until next week.
I'm a man, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed.
I'm a man, and it's okay to cry.
I'm a man, and it's okay to ask for help.
I'm a man, and I don't need to be perfect.
This has been The Toolbox.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week at 10 p.m.